Good morning. That was beautiful. Everyone, say hello to people next to you, behind you, across the way. Tyler. Oh, okay. If you ever want to have fun with your sound guy, Tyler, you know we love you, right? But just start like mouthing into the microphone and they just like their blood pressure goes up just a tiny bit. But we do love you. And I'm sorry I messed with you, Tyler, because we do. Thank you so much. Welcome, everyone. Gosh, Shelley, can I say this? Can I borrow this? How are you doing? I'm not healed yet from the laughter. There are things that came loose. We are referring to, I just feel like we're kind of basking in the glow of this really great, amazing time that we had at the retreat. And y'all, we were totally missing some of our favorites. I know some of you couldn't get here, and we really did. We missed you. What the Lord did in all of that. First of all, just I want to thank Gail again because she just did such a great job. And Kay, she's mixing tunes on the soundboard. Little DJ K on the soundboard, and Shelly and y'all, Susan, oh my word. And the really beautiful part was everyone who came, I think, was really, really, truly something shifted in their heart, a new vision of who God is, who they are in their belovedness. And there's a dog here. I love it. Sorry, Jen, I'm ADD this morning. Anyway, but at the same time, too, this body of women, and this is going to segue into a real announcement here in a second, but just hold on. The ways that every woman who helped and gave a part and gave her gift, it was so awesome. It's like bringing your little quilt square, you sew it all together, and it's amazing. Preach it, preach it. Preaching quilts this morning, preaching colorful quilts. But the main thing I want to say is that the way you all love and serve and give is unbelievable. And I want to let you know in the same way, here's that real announcement. You know how we were talking about needing station leaders for VBS and made all those announcements? Y'all, they are all filled. Plus more. There could be some tiny little things that we'll need to step into as it gets closer, and they'll let us know, the children's ministry team. But way to go, ladies. That was so fantastic. So the only real announcement that we have is the...
It's not that. I'm on the wrong place.
It's all right. All right. Well, some people think this is a two bad words, art show. And so I wanted to just make sure y'all knew that it wasn't. Here's the thing. There are so many ways to express what the Lord has done through this year. So we invite you, sing it, speak it, dance it, act it, draw it, sew it, be it, and come and on that last day that we do our brunch and study. Maybe you do it as a group, maybe you do it by yourself. But we invite you to come and express what all God has done in that and through that. So just put that on the back burner, and we'll ask you to move it a little bit forward as we get closer. But anyway, pray and think about that. We are so grateful for... Oh. I don't have it on my sheet, but that's okay. We're going to look on the red sheet. Well, I get... Oh, a late edition. Let me read this to you. It's a Women's Young Life Party. So it's coming up Saturday, March 5th, 6:30. The doors open 7:02. Do not start 7:01. Dessert to follow here at Greenwood Community Church. And Kay, it wasn't on my sheet.
Well, it was a late edition.
It was a late edition. Shelley, do you want to talk about this? All right.
How are you doing? This is, if you've ever been to a Young Life club, Young Life is a ministry for adolescents all over the world, and really kind of reaching for the furthest out kid and give him a picture of the gospel. And we are going to have a women's Young Life club here at Greenwood Community Church down on the Commons. And attempt to do the same thing. We're going to have a fun time. If you've ever had a friend or a neighbor or a coworker that you've just sort of wanted to be, to bring them to something where they're going to hear about who Jesus is, maybe for the first time or in a way that they can understand it. Not that we can't hear about that the same way here. But some people would never darken the door of a church service in your life. And so this would be a great opportunity to bring someone and have a great, great time. And they also get to hear about who Jesus is at the same time. So bring a friend. Bring lots of friends. We're going to have a blast. Doors open at 6:30 with some games and fun and hooting it up. And then program, if you will, the club itself will start at 7:02. And if you have any questions, come talk to me. I have even that little piece of thingy. I have a little card that you can take with you if you want to consider coming. So thanks.
Thank you. That is so fun. I cannot tell you how much you want to be here for this. I cannot, and recommend it to you. I'm putting it on my calendar. Have a great morning. Thank you all for leading us in worship, and we'll continue.
We all stand and sing together.
How grateful we are, God, that you continually pour out more of yourself, that you're pouring your spirit into us over and over and over again, filling us. Fill this place, Lord. Come this morning. Teach us what it looks like to be women of deep faith. Make these words true in our hearts. We pray them, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Thank you, ladies. You can be seated. I got my PowerPoint jacked up this morning, so let me get to the right slide so that we're good to go. Will you pull out your red sheets where there exists no prayer request? I am certain that there are prayer requests here this morning, so let's pray for those needs together. Would you join me now? I keep picturing you, Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, praying for our faith to endure. That the very thing that we are going to dive deep into here these next few weeks is what you're longing for in our lives. So we pray for ourselves for deep faith. Would you give us that gift by your grace, Lord? Pour it out upon us. We have friends and family and loved ones and brothers and sisters in Christ who are hurting. So we want to pray those names to you now, Father. We say them to you now. By your grace, God, bring faith, bring healing, bring peace, bring comfort, bring growth, bring obedience, bring your presence to these people's lives, we pray. We love you, Jesus. Amen. So February, I think, is kind of fun because of one thing. We had the women's retreat last weekend. That's one thing. Second thing I really enjoy is the Academy Awards. That, yes, I do like the Academy Awards. Now, here's why I like the Academy Awards. What's that, Joni? The clothes, yes. Joni's a step ahead of me. Yeah. I like the dresses. I could care less about the suits, but I like the dresses, right? I do love to see what, you know, what it looks like to put a ball gown on and go, you know, stand on something. I do want to tell y'all something, that there is thought that the idea of the red carpet actually goes back to the covenant with Abraham. You remember that it's a walk of death through a path of blood, and so that's why a red carpet was rolled out before you came into a throne room. Just think about that while you're watching the Academy Awards. Just remember that. I was a radio, TV, film major in college, so I studied a lot about film, and so I'm always intrigued by what's happening. I like to see what has happening. I think movies reflect our culture, but they also, in most stories, reflect the gospel. So I like to look for that, too. So the Academy Awards are generally considered to be like the who's who of actors and actresses. Like, they are the best people that are going to receive Academy Awards. I'm not sure. I think that's actually true. But that's what it's considered to be. Where we are this morning in Scripture, ladies, in Hebrews chapter 11, I mean, honestly, good job being here and hanging in, because we are getting into some glorious stuff in this chapter. Hebrews chapter 11 is the essentials of the Christian awards. These are the men and women that God says are pictures for us of faith. These are the lives that we want to look at and see what it looks like to be men and women of faith. Hebrews 11 is to faith what 1 Corinthians 13 is to love. So when you think about love, you look at the attributes that are listed about God in 1 Corinthians 13, and then how that flows out of our lives as we become more and more like him. When you look at Hebrews 11, you see what the gift of faith looks like in men and women's lives and how it flows out of them and flows out of us as we become more and more like him. So an interesting thing to ask yourself is, why did the author choose these people? Wendy and I were talking about this morning early about why these people are listed. And usually people think, well, it's just kind of a chronological listing of all the biggies of the faith, right? But it's not. It's not that, although there is that component of it. There is something intentional as to why the author was highlighting these men and women for the original audience and why God's highlighting them for us. And the three we'll look at, we'll see three reasons in the order that he wants us to see them as why, not chronologically, but in the development of faith order, why they're put in there that way. The original readers, remember, were facing persecution and intense struggle. And what the author's deepest desire for these men and women would be that they would stand firm, that their faith would actually flourish during this time that it was under assault, that they would be truly men and women of deep faith. So he highlights these people in order to give them things they need to stand firm. And he does the same thing for us. His concern is because he knows this life here, and this life eternal all the way into forever and ever in heaven hinges on faith. This life, how you experience the day God has before you today, the things that you choose or the things that happen to you, all hinge on faith. Faith is vital, like air is to breathe. Our faith is vital for our lives. So these men and women are important for us to look at. What we'll do this morning is, you'll be glad to know I do not have 12 points. So rest assured, David told me after last Wednesday night, he goes, it seems like you had a lot of caffeine today. Because I think I kind of gave him the fire hose lesson, and I hope y'all didn't feel that way last Wednesday morning, but it was a lot. Don't worry, I don't have 12 points this morning, I have 6. Okay, so you're going to get half what you got. The first thing we're going to do is look at 3 questions that are raised in the first 3 verses of chapter 11, and then we're going to look at these 3 lives that are raised in the last 3 verses, verses 4 through 7. Let me start by reading these verses to you, and then we'll get into the meat of them. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was made out of what was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man whom God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By faith, he commended the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. God, we praise you for your word. We praise you for the beauty of who Jesus is that is visible in each one of these lives. Speak to us this morning, we pray. Amen. Our first thing that we're going to talk about, these 3 questions. Our first question is, what is faith? What exactly is faith? Do you find that we say things a lot of times in church and then you start to think, but what exactly do we mean by that? Now, the first verse in Hebrews 11 is somewhat of a definition of faith, but it's a little bit incomplete. There's more that's needed than what's said there, but it's complete for what God is doing here. Let me give you a definition that I learned about almost 30 years ago at the church David and I were attending in Houston, and the pastor was doing a series on Hebrews 11, and so he wrote this definition. Let me get it up there. Faith is confident obedience to the word of God, regardless of consequences or circumstances. And we memorized it as a congregation. And every week before the sermon, he would have us stand. And I can still say it. Faith is confident obedience to the word of God, regardless of consequences or circumstances. Those words, I think, are very true. Ed Young is the pastor who wrote that, are very true about what faith is. Faith is not just belief. Faith involves belief and action. This is another one that I wrote that I think is more succinct. Faith is trust in God, which leads to action. That's what faith is, ladies. Trust in God, which leads to action. Watchman Nee, the evangelist to China, had this to say about faith. Faith is always meeting a mountain of evidence that seems to contradict God's word, a mountain of apparent contradiction in the realm of tangible fact. Either faith or the mountain has to go. They cannot both stand. It puts into context a little bit about what Jesus said about having faith that could move a mountain, right? He was probably thinking of that verse when he said those words. That's what faith does. It confronts what seems untrue with the truth that God has revealed to us. Now, scholars translate Hebrews 11 in a variety of ways. So it starts with faith is, and then it goes on. And in different Bibles, you'll have different ways that it says this. And it's because of this word hypnostasis in the Greek. So when it says faith is, what follows that is the Greek word hypnostasis. And it's a very nuanced word that has a lot of different meanings. So in the English Standard Version, the New American Standard, and the New Revised Standard, the translation is faith is the assurance. Then in the NIV, how many of y'all use the NIV? Probably most of you do, yeah. It means faith is being sure, is the way it's translated in the NIV. The King James says this word, substance, and the Phillips version says full confidence, and they're all right. Because the nuances of this word are kind of fourfold, and I'll put those four up there and talk about each one of them. First of all, substance. So faith is the substance. It makes what's promised real. Makes what's promised real is what the substance of it. Then foundation. Faith is something that stands under. Faith is something that stands under. So it's a foundation. It's the foundation for our lives. Think about what Jesus said when he said the wise man builds his life, his house, upon the rock Christ. How do we access the rock? Through faith. Faith is the foundation that supports our life. Faith is confidence, or another word for that would be assurance, confidence. It's our attitude towards our circumstances, particularly towards uncertainty and need. And then faith is the guarantee. It is the title deed to future blessings. Faith is the title deed that says, by faith, all of these things are available to us now and in the future, is the title deed to those blessings. Richard Phillips, in his commentary on Hebrews, says, and he combines all four of these nuances together, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the foundation upon which things are brought into being. It is confident attitude toward those things God has promised, and it is the guarantee that gives us a sure possession even now. That's why we need faith even now. I want you to think about something that is really intriguing about faith. Do you ever think about this? Faith is for this lifetime, but not in heaven. Because now we see in a mirror dimly. So God has given us the gift of faith until we can see face to face. Then we will, now we know in part, then we will be fully known. Now is our chance, ladies, to live by faith, to trust in the unseen realities of Christ in our life, and then to revel when he makes them seen. When even the realities in our daily life become so visible to us that we're aware of his presence. What a beautiful thing. Second question, what does faith do? So faith makes real to us things that are unreal to our eyes and our hearts, things that we don't understand yet are true. Listen to John Calvin in his New Testament commentary says, the Spirit of God shows us the hidden things. That comes from 1 Corinthians where it says the Spirit searches the deep and hidden things of God and reveals them to us, the knowledge of which cannot reach our senses. We are told of the resurrection of the blessed, but in the meantime, we are involved that had gathered. I am no more terrified at death nor afraid of hell because of sin than if I had never sinned. For all my sins are freely pardoned and washed thoroughly away through the precious blood and intercession of Jesus Christ. Be not discouraged at the ways of Christ and the cause for which I lay down my life and step into eternity where my soul shall be as full of him as it can desire to be. As he climbed the ladder to the scaffold, he declared, the Lord knows I go up this ladder with less fear, confusion, or perturbation of mind than I ever entered a pulpit to preach. And then his friend Hugh McHale climbed the ladder of the scaffold and called out as he was being executed, "I care no more to go up this ladder and over it than if I were going home to my father's house." Rung by rung, he called aloud, "Every step is a degree nearer heaven." Sitting at the top of the ladder, he took out of his pocket his Bible, and after addressing the crowds, he read from the last chapter of it. Standing up, the napkin was put over his face so people didn't see someone's face as they were being executed. But lifting it, he lifted it up, and then he said these words, "Now I begin my intercourse with God, which shall never be broken off. Farewell, father and mother, friends and relations. Farewell, the world and all its delights. Farewell, meat and drink. Farewell, sun, moon, and stars. Welcome, God and Father. Welcome, sweet Lord Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. Welcome, blessed Spirit of grace and God of all consolation. Welcome, glory. Welcome, eternal life. Welcome, death. O Lord, into your hands I commit my spirit, for you have redeemed my soul, O Lord God of truth." That, ladies, is what it looks like to live and then die by faith. That is the faith that makes real to us what is unreal, so that his very words in a life that still speaks. Right? All these hundreds of years later, his life is alive on the internet for us to see. Makes real to us, and it pleases God. And the last of the three questions, which I like to number as number two, but is actually number three. Clearly, I haven't had enough coffee today, right? How is faith fueled? How does faith actually move forward? And listen, in verse 3, we get a little hint here. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what is visible. What exactly is the author telling us about faith by taking us back to this moment of creation? He's telling us that it is always by God's grace, through faith, that we are saved, and by his word. Hebrews 11:3, what he's saying is by his command, through God's word, the whole universe is brought to life, is brought into existence. So how does faith come alive in our lives? It is through God's word. That's why, ladies, I love that you're here, and I want you to be saturated in the words of Scripture, because your faith comes alive through his words, not mine, not your friends, not your mom or your dad or your brother or your sister, your aunt or your uncle. You are fed by God's word. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 4, man exists not by bread alone, but by every word. Exists, that translation of that word is lives. Life is given to the universe, and life is given to us by God's word. One of the things we looked at through Gayla's teaching last weekend was the resurrection of Lazarus. And how Lazarus came out of the grave was by Jesus speaking words. He said, "Lazarus, come out." And those words were enough to pop this man back up to life and walk him out of the grave. If he can resurrect a man dead, he can resurrect our lives, give life to our faith by his word. Faith is fueled by his word. That's why you need to ask God to give you a hunger for his word. That's why when you are in your deepest struggles and your highest joys, what you need sustaining you in both places is the word of God, nothing else. These last couple days, I've had some challenges that I've been looking at, and so here's what I do, is I take something that God reveals to me in his word, and I write it down, and then I keep it someplace where I'm going to see it constantly, my lock screen on my phone, my pants pockets, that it'll be down there tucked away. Those words are the words that I need to sustain me. Here, and they're, gosh, y'all, God's word is so rich. so rich. I've been studying his word for, I don't know, since I was 13, 14 years old, and there are still more things to treasure in mine in his word. It never gets old. Listen to Psalm 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. My heart leaps for joy, and I will give thanks to him in song. These are the words that I needed this week. God's giving you words too. You're holding them in your hand. It will fuel your faith. This is what you need. I cannot tell y'all as much as I believe that this is what we need, is the word of God in our lives. Now let's look at these three people and see why God revealed them to us. Three movements of faith. And it begins very purposely with Abel as the beginning movement of faith, because faith worships. Now, there's this thing in the text that we looked at this week about the sacrifices. And it is about the sacrifice, but it's about the men and their hearts as they bring the sacrifice. Because Abel came through faith with his sacrifice to God, and it was accepted. Cain came through his own way, and it was rejected. Romans 14:23, the second half of that verse, says that everything that does not come from faith is sin. Faith is what commends us to God. Faith is what God accepts. And faith is what he gives. Ask him for more faith. Faith is what he gives. Now, a lot of people struggle with Cain and Abel. Did you wonder this when you were doing your homework? Like, Cain kind of got set up. Like, how did he know what kind of a sacrifice he was supposed to bring? Well, I want you to think back to Genesis 3:21. In Genesis 3:21, as Adam and Eve are being sent out from the Garden of Eden, and they recognize the sin, all of a sudden there is this new brokenness in the world. One of the things I wonder about is if the animals immediately started killing each other. If there was an immediate disorder in the animal kingdom, if flowers started wilting and falling over. And I feel pretty certain that that had to be true, because we see brokenness in creation just like we see brokenness within our own hearts and our own lives. Brokenness in creation. And Revelation tells us that all that will be restored, that it will all be set back to right again. As C.S. Lewis says, everything sad is coming untrue. Everything sad is coming untrue. So at this moment, they're recognizing and seeing destruction around them that they initiated, feeling destruction in their own hearts. Because what was the new instinct that set in immediately? What was the first thing they did when God came to them? Hid, exactly. The new instinct, shame, hiding, fear, it all set into motion at that place. And so as they're leaving the garden, God does something for them that was probably horrifying, but they understood. He sacrificed an animal, and then he took the skins of the animal, and he covered them with it. And it was a picture of the cross. The cross is planted in the garden, where he says, this is what's needed to restore you to right relationship with me. A life has to be given. That's why, do you remember, I think it was last week, I told y'all that even in pagan, where they don't know what scripture says about sacrifice, people sacrifice. That I believe it's inherent in our DNA to know that a life has to be given for us to be made right before God. So they're sent out from the garden. The cherubim with the flaming swords are left at the entry, and they're cast out. Now, what a lot of scholars believe is that Adam and Eve probably returned often to see if the angels would let them back in. And when they didn't, they probably made a sacrifice there. And they sacrificed an animal to be pleasing to God. So Cain and Abel then grew up, and this is speculation from scholars, but I think it's supported in Scripture, seeing what needed to be done. Seeing with their father and mother what needed to be done for reconciliation with God. Then they become adult men, and they get to decide for themselves how they're going to come to him. And Cain decides, I'll bring him something different than an animal. And what we see happen is rejection. Did you notice in the scripture too that God is still reaching out to Cain? He is still calling out to him. What have you done? He says to him. What is he giving him the opportunity to do? Yeah, confess and repent, to receive mercy. But Cain doesn't do it. He continues to follow his own instincts and not listen to the voice of God. And then kills his brother. I want you to see this painting. Tyler, will you lower the lights for us? Acts 4:12 says, there's no other name under heaven that men will be saved but Jesus. This is called The First Morning. And it's painted by a Scottish painter. I think he's Scottish. William Burroughs. Hold on, let me make sure I'm not telling y'all the wrong thing. Yeah, I can't find it. I believe he is Scottish. Stand by. What's heartbreaking, he's French. I'm glad I checked. He's French. Apologies to the French people for William Burroughs. What is horrifying, the title of this painting, The First Morning. Do you ever think about that? That this was the first human to die? Abel was the first one. He was the first one. He brought his sacrifice. God accepted it. He was righteous. And then he was assaulted and murdered by his brother. The way that Mary is, I even thought that. The way Eve is portrayed here, mourning, is very much like you see Mary at the foot of the cross in deep mourning. Adam with his hand over his broken heart and the lifeless body of their son. All of it points to Jesus. That we need a better sacrifice, as we've studied. We need the better sacrifice. We need Jesus himself for his life to be laid down. Cain came in his own way. Abel came with the true sacrifice. So not only was he the first to die, but he was the first to arrive in heaven. Okay, I think the angels had to be astounded by Abel showing up. Like, they were like, what? Because we know in Scripture it says that the angels long to look and understand God's plan of salvation, that they don't have full understanding of God's plan of salvation. Now, I want to point something out to you, too. So the angels guarded the return to the Garden of Eden. And that picture of the angels guarding was woven, if you look, I think it's in Exodus 26, where the instructions were given for the curtain for the temple, and it says the cherubim were to be woven in there, so that there was some semblance in some way in this tapestry curtain thing that you could see the angels that were guarding the Holy of Holies to protect us from entry because of our sin. And then inside the Holy of Holies, where you've got the Ark of the Covenant, what shields the mercy seat? The angels. And then what is poured out in the mercy seat? Blood for our sacrifice, and accepted, and brings us through into the presence. So when the temple curtain was torn, and now we have full access because of the sacrifice of Christ, and the angels are blown back by this. I wonder if that's what it looked like when Abel arrived in heaven. If they're all with their flaming swords, you know, guarding the entry to heaven, and they're like, whoa, he can come in. He comes in by the sacrifice of Christ. So we see in this very first picture that sacrifice and worship is where we begin a life of faith. The sacrifice of Jesus is where faith begins. Now, the second movement that we see is in Enoch, and we see what faith walks. We didn't get this from the text in Hebrews, but when we got sent back to the Genesis passage, thank you, Jen, we see that Enoch walked with God. It's a picture of intimate fellowship. It's where we get that phrase from ourselves, too, that we're walking with God, that we're in relationship with him. True companionship, what Jesus said, Genesis 5 is where it is. What Jesus said about in the garden of abiding with him when he was praying for us. I want you to see this painting here. And this was in your homework if you missed those verses, Genesis 5, 21 through 24. You've seen them. This is where Enoch's story is in the Old Testament. Now let me put this painting up. I think this is Gustave Doré, although the site that I got it from didn't have it. But I'm pretty sure it is just looking by it, which is an etching that he did. And I want you to notice something about the way Enoch is being taken up to heaven without dying. He and Elijah taken up to heaven without dying. And he's kind of riding on a cloud. Can you see that? That he's sort of sitting like lazy boy, you know, on this cloud. But I want you to see, do you see the source of the cloud right down here? Do you see what this is? Sacrifice. He's worshiping. He walks with God. There is an order to how these are presented in Scripture. And then he is brought up to heaven through his sacrifice. Do you remember the old hymn called In the Garden? I officiated a funeral a couple weeks ago, and the woman whose funeral it was requested this song. So with the hymn, this hymn was played, and I was so struck by the beauty of these words. I come to the garden alone, while the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's what intimate fellowship with God looks like. What a beautiful verse, right? Just beautiful words in the garden. The next person that we want to look at, his movement of faith, is Noah. And faith works. James tells us without works, faith is dead. Paul tells us that we don't work to receive our faith. So we have appropriate understanding of what obedience looks like with Noah. In our homework, Jen pointed out that Noah was received as righteous before he built the ark. That his commending as righteousness was because of his faith, not because of what he did. And what he did was a result of his faith. And what tremendous faith. Now think about the evidence of Noah's faith. What would we say of Noah's faith if he had not built the ark? What we do expresses our faith. This order is specific in these verses in Hebrews because faith begins by worship. Faith then starts to live out in relationship, and faith is expressed in what we do. True faith results in action. I got a painting here. Do you like this? Three paintings and one lesson. I hope you do. And this is Noah. And let me think who painted this. Hold on. Stand by. Why did I put that away? Oh, Daniel MacLeese painted in 1847. It's really an interesting painting. You'll notice something, that Noah stands in the center. And the way he stands in the center, a little bit with one arm out, is a picture of Christ. Because the ark is the better for us, bringer of safety and salvation. The ark is a picture of who Jesus is. Now, here's Noah leaning casually. And he's got really a funny look on his face. I wish you could see his face so close. He's just smiling up at the Lord. I'm sure he is really glad to be out of the boat, don't you think, right? But what he's leaning on is the altar of sacrifice. Because Noah knew he needed to sacrifice one of these animals that he had saved. He kept alive these animals to praise God for what he had done. You see the rainbow arcing in the background, the sign of the Noahic covenant with God. You'll see more animals down here ready for sacrifice. Noah's faith is one of confident assurance, confident obedience to the word of God, regardless of circumstances or consequences. He stands in full confidence. You've got his wives and daughters-in-law over here in something of a wonder. Will this be accepted? Will the sacrifice be accepted? And then the sons over here on two sides of the sacrifice. Here's what I want you to see up here in the top. Do you see these angels right here? Guarding the entry of heaven, where the sacrifice of Christ brings us into his presence. These three examples to us of what faith looks like tells us something about how to live by trusting in the work of Christ, not in our own efforts, but in his sacrifice and his resurrection and his life poured out for us and in us. That begins with worship. That begins with our surrender to him, our acknowledging, I will come through your way and not mine. I love that we sang that Lay Me Down song. I love that. My life is not my own. I surrender to you alone. Your will, your way. That's what Abel still tells us. His life still speaks of that sacrifice. That sacrifice is Jesus, and it is his way, truth, and life, not ours. and we enter into relationship with this God. He didn't just make a sacrifice for us through Christ and then say, see you in heaven. Good luck till you get there. He said, I will now regenerate you through the power of the Holy Spirit. I am pouring the Spirit in to bring you back to life, to give you faith, and then to give you the ability to walk in faith with me for your lifetime. And then we see what a life of faith looks like in Noah, that works actually flow from that. Here's what we know is true. This life, here and in heaven, hinges on faith. I want to ask you a couple of questions here as we close. Where's your faith weak? Is it in your worship? Is it in your walk? Is it in your works, the evidence? Where's your faith weak? And ask God for more faith. He delights to pour it out for us. Would you pray with me? We are so grateful, Jesus, for your sacrifice that brings us into your Father's presence, that we see in him his love for us, his provision for us, his care for us. Would you strengthen our faith where it's weak? Make us women who long for you in worship, who long to walk with you daily, minute by minute, women who long to live lives evidence of your work. We pray these things, Jesus, and we believe because of your name. Amen. Thank you, ladies.